Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate, really excited and grateful to be with you all today. And I'm here with Mark Johnston. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
Doing good. The snow is finally melted and it's a little warm here in Colorado, so we'll take it. It snowed last week and that's how Colorado is.
It's the end of April.
Yeah. We'll probably get one more in May and then maybe we'll be done.
Wow.
But we're excited for everyone to be here, and I'm really excited about today's topic. I hope that we go a little deep today for those of you who are ready for that, and I know many of you are asking for this, and have this be a really breakthrough experience for you today. Again, we took this topic from you guys here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group, so if you're not a member of that, I encourage you to join, and those that are watching live, we love to see you and hear your comments. And so we got this as a request from you guys. And honestly, this is one that I've heard a lot of over the past years as Mark and I have been serving people with their marriages for several years now, all around the world. But the question is, should I stay? Should I go? Should I keep working on my marriage? Should I just give up? What is right for me? What is right for my relationship? So many people wonder, you know, is it right? Is it better, you know, just give up? Is it good for me to stay? Or should I stick it out? Is there hope for me? Really at the bottom, you know, bottom line here is that people are wondering, is there hope for my marriage? Or is it better just to move on? So today we're going to discuss some of those factors that you should consider before making this decision. And we'll go into that. But before we do, Mark, will you please share our client win of the week?
Yeah, so this one is another anonymous one, but I thought it was a good example here. So this client is sharing that he's talking this weekend. It's a little, but it's a lot for a man who does not like feelings or talking about them. We laughed while talking. He talked, reminded me again of my shortcomings, which is okay, she says, but he's talking. He even brought up something I did that bothered him last week, and we talked through it. I'm going to interrupt this just for a moment. I'm like, what I want to point out here is, you know, things like this, pointing out some shortcomings, it's not such a bad thing, especially, you know, as she says, they talk through it. And that's a really healthy part of this process. As far as the marriage goes, she continues, though, he likes my changes and is still skeptical with the changes in me are whether they're real or will last. And he said, I'm obsessed with the marriage. Then he denied it and said, that's not the problem. I thought I'd totally taken a step back, but I think trust is where I need to focus. He said his attorney called and wondered if he was unsure that he wanted a divorce, which is promising. I think this weekend is a win and would not have gotten this far without High Thrive coaching, trainings, and podcasts, and faith in God. Thanks. So already this person is seeing some hesitation from her husband. And I would agree with her that trust is a really high need for the focus there. But it's great to see even some smaller wins, just like the win of being able to talk together and receive feedback, and that's not a big deal, and you just talk through it. Those are big steps in creating a healthy foundation for a marriage.
They are big steps, and this is the first kind of milestone that we like to see our clients get to when they first start with us in our path process, is that they are able to open up communication and then shift negative communication, you know, where it's easy to get defensive if they're bringing up shortcomings or to put the blame on the other person or just to run away and try to, you know, flee the entire situation or close up, right? So instead of any of those fears, they're shifting towards positive communication. Well, first we see neutral communication and then it goes into positive communication. And we're definitely seeing that they're achieving that milestone, which is a huge relationship skill that isn't really taught to us, but is really vital to have a happy and healthy relationship in any kind of relationship. So it's really, really awesome. And then his like kind of back and forth is a good sign as well. It's something that we like to see. Like Mark said, he's kind of going back and forth, talking to the attorney, not sure if he wants a divorce. And that's exactly where we want to see a relationship at that stage as well. And so just like you might be feeling uncertain if you want to stay in the marriage, normally, like I'd say like, you know, 80, 90, 99% of the time, if you're feeling unsure that you want to stay in the relationship, your spouse is as well. And so just have that perspective that what you're going through, they're probably going through as well in their own way, and give them some understanding and compassion about that as well. All right, so let's jump in. All right, Mark, we have a bit of a disclaimer before we go into, you know, helping illustrate, helping you guys go through some factors here of if you should stay or if you should go. So what is our disclaimer, Mark?
Here's the thing. I get the feeling that people are coming to a podcast like this kind of wondering, okay, should I leave? But we're not going to give you permission just to give up on your marriage during this podcast. I don't want you to go into this looking for, okay, here are the check marks, I guess I can leave. You know, we're of the belief that many, many problematic marriages can be salvaged. But I also do not want to go in telling you to stay no matter what the odds. I do think that this is very much a personal decision. And when clients come to me and say, well, should I leave the marriage? Quite often that discussion turns into a lot of questions from me. And I require my clients to really think hard about where that question is coming from and why they might be considering it. So I'm not in the business to say, okay, you have to save your marriage no matter what, because that's the right thing to do, or because God says that's what you should be doing, or whatever the reason happens to be. You know, we recognize that sometimes circumstances are simply too difficult and there's not enough desire to save the marriage on both ends possibly. So all I'm working, the disclaimer here is I am not going to be making this decision for you. If you are really struggling with this, you need to talk to a professional directly. But our discussion today is going to be a lot about, you know, some factors to consider with this.
Yeah. Give a taste of here at the beginning about the mindset perspective.
Heather, I think I lost you for about 5 seconds. Can you start that thought over again?
You bet. So, and I'm going to take a little bit of a different take on this and give you a tiny preview. And then, you know, after we go through some of these factors with Mark, we'll go deeper into that. But I want to go over the mindset of indecision, because if you're in this place wondering, should I go, should I not go, there is a huge energy cost to that state of being. When we are in indecision, it's kind of like we've got our foot on the gas and our foot on the brake, or we alternate between both. Yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to save my marriage. I'm going to do this, right? I feel like I'm supposed to. And painful, put on the brakes, right? The emergency brakes sometimes. And as someone that's soon to be teaching a teenager how to drive a car, we know that we do not make progress when we are in that state. Right? We can't drive our car when we're in that state, and we cannot move our life forward when we're in that state. I know a lot of people talk about being exhausted when they're working on their marriage. And I think that a lot of that exhaustion comes from not knowing what you really want and not really having the right path to get there. Path method. When you have the right method to get there, you actually see results instead of doing all these ineffective things that really don't work. So the first step is get clarity on what you really want, so you're not in that energy drain. And then second, do what actually works, which is exactly why we have this podcast and our coaching, is to show you what's actually going to work, so you're not stuck in a huge energy drain.
I will add to that if you are a bit indecisive about what it is that you want, it will have an impact on the relationship. It's going to have an effect of draining security, trust, confidence. If you are going back and forth, your partner is going to feel that, and it's just not going to feel as great. If they are unsure as well, it's just going to push them much further in the direction of let's just give up on this, because it's going to feel very unstable. So I do like that you brought up that there is a cost of indecision, and it tends to be towards, it's going to move more towards that divorce situation. So we have several factors to consider when making this decision. The first couple factors I think are very much related. I think there are factors of whether there is personal commitment and how much structural commitment there is. But let's explain that for a second. Like Heather, we all know what we're talking about with personal commitment, but maybe we need to explain this just a little bit. This comes from this commitment theory, that there's a few different types of commitment. And so just starting off with that personal commitment side, this is like, is there still love in the relationship? Is there still care, affection? Is there actual enjoyment in it? Even further, if we had to talk about what's in like a personal commitment category, are there personal morals about staying in a marriage? And if you have a lot of personal conviction, personal values and morals, and, there's still some semblance of care and affection and desire, then there is a very strong argument to continue to fight for the relationship, especially if there's any amount of that from your partner. This tends to be like these personal commitment factors tends to be a much more powerful, or it creates a much more powerful tie to the relationship in general. And so if you have these anywhere in the relationship, the chances of strengthening that and making it better tend to be pretty high. So this is like what we were talking about with the client win of the week, where the husband is not so certain about the relationship. He's kind of going back and forth. He opened up in this conversation, and he might not be sure about all the changes, but it seems like there's something there in the relationship, even though he's not very certain about it. And that's a situation that I feel like has a very good chance of working out well if the right steps are taken. And that's what I'm talking about here. There's a lot of factors in that example that we shared earlier that pointed to there being personal commitment for the relationship. Now, what I will see that gets in the way of this is a lot of, and these are tend to be the excuses that dismiss the personal commitment. It's all these yeah buts. Like, I still care for you, but we're just not compatible. We don't have anything in common. I feel too hurt. I feel controlled. You're never going to change. And it's not necessarily it's not saying that care isn't there. It's just that there are these problems that are in the way of making it so that it can be expressed fully. And a lot of these factors, just like our example earlier today, come down to this factor of trust and whether your partner trust that things could be different, that those problems could be eliminated. And, but anyways, if this is kind of like the dynamic that you're working with, that there's still some care, but there's some problems in the way, this is a solvable problem. This is going to be one of those situations where I'm going to say, you know what, it's probably not worth giving up on the relationship if this is the entirety of what's going on between you and your spouse. Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Heather?
I do, because we see so many people in this kind of a situation and they think that it is hopeless. Okay. And where does that really come from? Right. Where does that sense of hopelessness come from? Why does our culture say if they want out, there's nothing you can do? Mm-hmm. You, then there must not be anything left for the marriage. Right. So I want everyone to kind of question some of their perceptions and their beliefs, because a lot of this is just kind of conditioning. And I want to use a kind of a funny example. Hopefully my connection keeps up here. I know it's kind of going in and out today. So I was listening to a mindset training that I'm going through myself. And the coach is very well known. He's worked with Tony Robbins, blah, blah, blah. But he put up a problem on the board. And this was a solve this mystery type riddle. And I'm just going to read it. Okay. He says, the police receive an anonymous tip and raid a house to arrest a suspected murderer. They don't know what he looks like, but they know his name is John and that he is inside the house. The police bust in on a carpenter, a taxi driver. Without hesitation or communication of any kind.
Hold on, Heather. Is Heather cutting in and out for anyone else, or is it just me? Put in the comments, please. I heard, okay, John, they're busting in, and there's a carpenter.
All right, they go into the house, and there's a carpenter, a taxi driver, a mechanic, and a fireman all playing poker together. Without hesitation or communication of any kind, they immediately arrest the fireman. How do they know they've got their man? All right? And then people in the audience said, well, maybe he's wearing a name tag, and it says John, right? He's a fireman. Maybe it's on his boots. Maybe there's evidence that he's the murderer of some kind, right? One person even said, and I'd love to hear your answers to how you think they solved this. One person even said, well, maybe everyone else is dead and he just killed them all. But that wasn't the answer. So question for you, how many of us hear carpenter, taxi driver, mechanic, fireman, and how many of us assume that they are all male? Right? I did. I assumed that they were all male. And so the answer to this riddle is that they're actually all female except for the fireman, which leaves him as the only one that could be named John. And I think, oh, yeah, that's so obvious, right? But that's just an example to highlight to us how many times we have preconceived notions, we have beliefs about life, and just a filter that we look through the world based on some of these beliefs and these perceptions, right? And so really making sure that we question where those perceptions are really coming from and choose to look at the world a different way, a way that might serve us a little better. So that preconceived notion that if my spouse wants out, there's nothing I can do, it's over, is a false one in this instance, right? If we have these factors going on. And so choosing not to just accept that conditioning or that cultural belief or whatever we've picked up on it all these years, right? But to question some of those beliefs is really an intrinsic part of what we do here at High Thrive Coaching, because we look at our beliefs about ourselves, our beliefs about our spouse, our beliefs about what is possible, and make sure that we are living in the truth of who we really are and the truth of what really can happen here. Okay, so that being said, that's my little mindset insert on this kind of situation. And so if you're falling into that belief, like this isn't going to work for me, let's make sure we really identify where that might be coming from, because it might just be past conditioning. It might not even be your real belief, but something that you just picked up on from our culture over the years.
Now, we do have a question from Kaylee, but I'm going to put a hold on that just for a second, because it's going to apply to one of our points a little bit later, and I'm going to bring up her question at that point. So we have these conceptions like, okay, we have these problems, and so then it's not worth it. Like, we're not compatible, we don't have anything in common. I feel there, but there are other, like, I feel like these are obstacles that are solvable, is what we're getting at. And we even, you know, we want to get beyond these preconceived notions. One of the other factors here in considering staying or going is, I feel like this is much more of a boring sort of thing. It's these structural commitments. Like, how much ties do you have to your relationship? You know, sometimes I get clients in, and they're like, well, I've been married for 6 months and, you know, it's been horrible the entire time, but I really want to save the marriage. And I try to be really understanding, and I try not to make that face that I just made. where I'm like, but honestly, like that's a situation where there aren't a whole lot of ties. And if it's been horrible for 6 months and you've only been married for 6 months, there's not going to be a lot of reason to really keep that, fight super hard for that relationship. But, like I said, I hear the partner out the client out, and they usually have some personal reasons, like maybe they've been divorced before and they don't want to divorce again or some other sort of thing. But yeah, how much are your lives tied together? Are you actually married? Do you have children? Have you been together for like 10 plus years? The more things that are tying the two of you together, the more difficult it is to pull your lives apart, especially if you have young children. I mean, you're going to be in each other's lives for a long time in those cases. And it really, if you're pulling away from that relationship with a lot of these structural commitments, it involves having lots of links to that relationship ongoing, and it just makes it messy. In my opinion, it absolutely increases that factor of like, it influences that decision of the question, should I stay or should I go? Because it just becomes messy otherwise. It gives you all the more reason. Now, me personally, I actually think this is a good thing because having these structural commitments kind of, it creates a bit of a buffer in the relationship. If my personal commitments, if I start enjoying the relationship a little bit less, these structural commitments keep me in a relationship or keep people in a relationship. So they serve a really good purpose in these sort of things, even if they're a little bit, they're a little bit more boring in terms of like those things that are keeping you together. Yeah.
So we got a really great question here from Joanne. Do you stay with someone who has no desire to stay with you and said he is not breaking up with her? Which really goes well into our next factor of fidelity and faithfulness.
So, yeah.
Questions here.
Yeah, I think this goes along with Kaylee's question too. She's saying my spouse is in limerence with someone else. My question is it normal for my husband to be treating me horribly because of being in the limerence? And both of these, that one's slightly different, and there's going to be another factor involved there. But for both of them, affairs can be a big deal for many people. For many people, it can be a deal breaker, as in, one strike and you're out. On the other hand, I do see a lot of relationships who decide to stick it out through an affair, after an affair. Mm-hmm. And it has the potential to be, as odd as this sounds, a stronger relationship after the fact.
Yes. I mean it over and over and over again. Yes.
Yeah. The reasons being is like, if you have to work through the problems of an affair, what are you doing? You're cleaning out a lot of the junk in the relationship, and you're having to learn really high-end sort of skills for relationships. You're learning how to be understanding even when there's pain. You're having to learn to communicate and be open and trusting with each other. You're having to learn problem-solving skills. You're clearing out those problems that caused the affair in the first place that might have been, making the relationship less than it could have been. Like all these factors, if a couple works through that, they're on the road to a really awesome relationship. And so, yeah, like both Kaylee and Joanne who have their husband like involved with someone else, I get why they question, should I stay here? Some things to consider with fidelity and faithfulness. As a professional, I think this is a big factor. Have there been repeated affairs? Especially if there's been promises to change and affairs keep happening. That to me is a big factor in deciding, okay, is this a marriage to support? And, I hope it's obvious. If there's repeated affairs, you probably need to consider not like working on this? And I'm not going to say definitely. Other factors here, like, is the unfaithful partner repentant, as in they're wanting to change? I think that's a big factor. Almost always when I talk with a client and they say, hey, there's been an affair going on, I'll ask about, okay, was this affair, did they try to hide it when it was found out? Did they show some remorse or shame or guilt? Did they promise to make changes there or to leave this other partner? You know, like these factors where they are trying to preserve the marriage while the affair is going on tells me a lot about kind of the state of this affair. And tells me that it's not really a strong relationship and that there's probably some things that you can work through. Especially if they are taking actual steps towards making changes, that's a big factor. Now, you might not be at that stage yet, like where they're making those big changes, but like if they get to that point where they're like, hey, let's go to a therapist, let's figure this out, that's a situation that I say absolutely that you probably want to consider staying there and fighting for that relationship. I do think that affairs tend to be, like we were talking about earlier, there are these unhealthy outlets for something missing. And in many cases, if you were able to address that and resolve this and kind of like fix the things that are causing the affair, then it's a fixable marriage. So, Heather, like these questions here, what do we think about the ones, especially from Kaylee and Joanne? Like, so Joanne here, we went through some of these factors of the affair. Mm-hmm. How do you think this applies to her?
All right, I think I'm back. All right. So right there, he says he's not breaking up with her and has no desire to stay. So those are definitely things that we look at. But like Mark said here, affairs are fixable situations in many cases. And Mark and I have talked to so many clients that have said, you know, the affair was the worst thing I've ever gone through, but it was actually the best thing because it allowed us to heal those underlying factors in me, in them, and in our relationship that were going on. I think about affairs as like, it's like the dark night of the soul for so many relationships. And it's a really defining moment for you, your partner, and the relationship. Again, question your preconceived notions about affairs. Many people say, you cheat on me, I'm done. That's it, it's over, right? Well, where does that really come from, right? Is that like all those professionals in the room with the murder person, we're all male, right? And I think of it like, you know, Gandalf on the bridge or Frodo on Mount Doom. Are you going to let this challenge consume you and destroy you and lead to further unhealthiness in your life and potentially your partner's life and the marriage? And, you know, maybe you can move forward and do it in healthy ways. We do see that. But more often than not, we see that these challenges, if you let them consume you, then you're not moving in a really healthy direction and you become more of a victim to more things like that in your life. Or are you going to say, I'm going to rise up to the greatness in me. I'm going to become a better person because of this. I'm going to, you know, conquer Mount Doom, even though I might feel like I don't have anything left. I know I can do it. So I think it's just one of those really defining moments there where you got to realize, taking a 30,000 foot view of your life, what do I really want? How can I really improve myself? How can I let this challenge help me become a better person?
Yeah.
That opportunity.
I think we lost Heather there.
Ah, I was just saying, like, that challenge.
just for a second.
That opportunity for you to become a better person and your relationship as well. It's more often than not a very solvable situation if you take the right actions in the right way.
No, I can see a whole bunch of comments here. We're talking about this fidelity and faithfulness, and everyone's like, well, okay, well, what about this situation here? In a lot of these cases, I'm not going to say all, you know, what ends up, and we're just going to touch on this briefly because, you know, the whole thing about affairs is a completely, we could probably have multiple podcasts just on affairs. We already do. I think I even have like a 4-part workshop just on affairs, you know. So like it's a big topic. But in a lot of cases, you know, there's, you know, somewhere in here, there's the topic of boundaries. And, you know, I'm just thinking of Lisa's comments here where she's talking about her needs not being met and they're just roommates. And at some point, you know, in situations like that, you do kind of, you know, you do kind of need to put your foot down. Here with High Thrive, my policy tends to be, okay, let's see what we can do with a carrot approach and drawing the person in and making some changes and, you know, things like that. And then we see how far that can take the relationship. And then if it starts to plateau, then we switch to more of a stick sort of, you know, carrot and stick sort of approach where there's boundaries and there's more firm demands for respect, but we do it in very healthy ways. I think we tend to approach boundaries a little bit differently than other people, other professionals. Anyways, that's all I want to say. Like I said, I just wanted to touch on this because there seemed to be a lot of questions on this and it's a big topic. And if you guys really, really want us to talk more about affairs, we would love to. Let us know and we can, you know, put it into our schedule for podcasts and whatnot. So I think the next factor does touch on Kaylee's comments here about being treated horribly. And this is considering, you know, is there abuse, contempt, or disrespect in a relationship? Now, Heather, we have a policy with marriages in terms of abuse. What's our policy with abuse?
Our policy with abuse is that is not something that you should stay in. If it is physical, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, we need to get a little bit more clarity on that because that's one of those words that's kind of thrown around but not really understood. So we need to see like the level of what's really going on there. But if there's any kind of physical abuse, it's just not okay. And you need to get yourself in a safe situation. So that's our policy.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I will say I have seen once or twice where physical abuse is present to a small degree. And still, I think in those situations, the abused partner needs to leave. And it kind of depends then on what happens at that point.
Right.
I'm not saying that those are absolutely without hope situations. But, you know, I do think that those are situations that really weigh in heavily in terms of a decision of whether to stay or go. And I, you know, we lean much more towards leaving in those cases. Now,
healthy boundaries and above all, making sure that you definitely get professional help, no matter what happens in the relationship, because there's a lot going on there that's going to need some professional guidance.
I do think that these are all kind of on a similar spectrum though, abuse and contempt and disrespect. If you are familiar with other people's works, then you know contempt, according to John Gottman, is one of those four horsemen of divorce. It's one of these factors that readily predicts divorce pretty well. Now, I mean, there's a spectrum of this, but so that everyone, we're on the same page, contempt in our dictionary here is persistent negative views of someone's character. So like, for instance, I was talking about this with my wife earlier today. I was just kind of reviewing the podcast and I'm like, well, I have some persistent negative views about my wife. I get really annoyed when she eats the last of something in the fridge and leaves the container in it. And so there's just garbage in the fridge. It really is a pet peeve of mine, but it's not really a persistent view of her character. It's just like, yeah, it's just this annoyance that I don't like, but I think nothing less of her because of it. This is where it kind of crosses the line into contempt, is do I view this person as a person negatively? And that will tend to lead to more problems unless it can be curbed. So is this a factor to consider with divorce? Yeah, I think it is, especially if you've tried to lessen the amount of contempt and it's ramping up or staying the same. You've gotten help and it's staying the same. You know, these sort of things aren't really, it really pulls away from a healthy foundation for a relationship. And I think disrespect is in there, but probably, you know, on a lesser scale than say contempt. It's, you know, if everything's on the spectrum, it's like disrespect is there. Then we, you know, that's an occasional sort of mean sort of thing. Then contempt is up a little bit higher than abuse is on the far end of the negative spectrum. So with these things, I think these really weigh heavily. And yeah, certainly if there's abuse, really consider leaving contempt. I think there's room for fixing it, especially if your partner is at all inclined to consider, you know, what's going on there. Disrespect is an easy peasy problem that, you know, doesn't even causes zero concern on my radar in terms of whether this is something solvable or not.
All right. So let's go into severity of problems, okay? And getting clarity on how severe something might really be. In our mind, we might feel like it's absolutely, you know, the end of the world. It's broken our heart. And we feel like, you know, no one's ever gone through this, or no one has it as bad as me, or you don't know about my situation. I'm special, right? And we all kind of feel that way. But it's really important to get clarity from professional, you know, an expert's point of view about how severe is this really? You know, is this actually like a bleeding neck issue? Is it something that is truly the end of everything? Or is it something that can be fixed? So Mark, what are some questions to help us understand how severe our problems in our relationship might be?
Yeah. So the first question is, how persistent is the problem? So I think that problems that fall under this category, especially are things like addictions. That's going to be a persistent problem. And if there's, you know, especially if like there's been many attempts to fix things, there's been promises to resolve problems, and they keep coming back and back and back, that plays a factor in this. You know, sometimes there can be persistent, really strong persistent problems, and we can come to some sort of some amount of peace with that. But if not, you know, you have to really consider, okay, if there are these really strong persistent problems, affairs, as we were talking about earlier, addictions, or, you know, any of these things that we've been talking about, disrespect, lack of personal commitment and enjoyment in the relationship. These things are all considered when we, you know, evaluate whether it's a good idea to stay or go. Another question is, how much does this actually negatively affect you? I've seen some people, you know, both clients and in my personal life, who they latch on to some ideas as in, like, my partner isn't there for me, or my partner is going to cheat on me. And the reality is, like, a lot of these things are personal fears, personal sensitivities. And, you know, we have to evaluate how much is this problem negatively affecting me? Or, you know, another side of that question is, how much is this not my partner's problem? Like, how much of this is my responsibility? I have seen relationships fall apart because of a high amount of criticism without really much cause.
And you know, I would say victimhood too. a big story that we build up in ourselves and we torment ourselves. And some of it isn't, much of it is actually just a construct of our own imagination. We get down a road and we just fuel that story. I'm the victim, they're to blame. I'm in pain. I can't handle this. It's their faults. Everyone does this to me. I can never trust anyone. And that really all comes down to, like I said, those beliefs we've built up in ourselves over time. Unless we heal those things, they will continue to persist. Even if you do end up separating or getting a divorce, they will continue to persist in the next relationship. They have to, because it's the modality that you're seeing the world through, and you will continue to attract that same experience until you heal that underlying story.
I'm thinking of even a current client that I've seen recently where the husband felt offended by the wife's behavior at some point, and he admits she's made a lot of changes. And he's saying, but I just can't let go of this pain of what has happened, how you treated me. And I, you know, honestly, I look at that situation and I'm thinking, you know, her treatment really wasn't that terrible, one. And two, that like not being able to let go of that pain, we need to consider how much does this negatively affect you, but I really consider that a problem with him rather than anything that, you know, she's responsible for. And I think this is an important thing to evaluate when considering whether you stay or leave, is are the problems that you're putting on your partner, is it really something that they can fix for you, or is it something that you need to take responsibility for? I do think that in many cases, people leaving a relationship are leaving because of problems that they are responsible for, but they are placing on their partner.
Yeah, they're not ready to face it. Not wanting to diminish anyone's pain. We understand that there are some obviously really painful situations, but it's also taking that accountability for what is my part in this and how much am I going to let it affect me, right? How much am I going to let this one thing or this big thing define me for the rest of my life? Guys, like, who is worth years of your life feeling upset and, you know, worthless or less than? Who is worth that in your life to invest that much energy into someone else? No one else is worth giving up years of your life to. Okay, so you have to make a choice about who you're going to be and how you're going to handle these challenges and how you really want to feel and the person that you want to be. Like, you are the only one that can define that. And so don't let anyone rob you of your happiness because you're unwilling to forgive, because it's not hurting them. It's only hurting you. It's only keeping you stuck. So just being really aware of that. Like, yeah, there are definitely situations that we need to have some boundaries about so that we aren't hurt by others. But the reaction, we all react, but the amount of time that we choose to react is our choice. And so making sure that we're really aware of that and not letting it, like I said earlier, consume us.
So I think like this factor that what to sum things up, it's like, you know, have you really evaluated the problem adequately? You know, is there a persistent problem, or are you just perceiving that it's this huge problem when it's not really that? I would say, you know, if you're really considering leaving, have you attempted to get help yourself to evaluate, you know, what your part is and how you might be able to affect the marriage a little bit better? Have other proper resources for fixing this adequately been used? I see so many times people who say, we tried therapy, and trying therapy amounts to 2 sessions. I'm sorry, but that is a garbage, trashy garbage excuse. It's just not, it's such a flimsy excuse that I can't help but like be feeling incredulous over things like that.
Right. Or I asked my partner to go, my spouse, and they refused. So therapy must not be it for us, right? And, yeah. Or we've been to therapy for years and it's still not getting us the solutions. So what else is there, right? What Mark and I do here is radically different than therapy. And so there might be another solution that you want to consider as well. So, question here. Do you want to give up? Ask yourself that. Do I want to give up? And if so, why? Right? What are those reasons? Why?
I think that's a really good question. Like, it's a very simple question, but one that you need to spend a lot of time on. I might spend a whole hour with a client just exploring these two questions. Do you want to give up and why? And, you know, really, I could probably spend more time if I really, really wanted to. And it's not just because, like, okay, that's what I do, but these are really important questions. If someone is considering leaving, that's something to really explore and dive deep into and really figure out what is going on there, because it's an important decision.
It is. And so I encourage you guys to take some time to define what it is you really want. You know, many of us here, many in our audience, many people out there, they question if they should stay in the marriage or not. So being really aware of the energy cost of indecision, right? We talked about that at the beginning, but knowing that indecision is like having your foot on the gas and your foot on the brake. You're not going to get anywhere. It's only going to burn rubber and exhaust you. So take some time, take some quiet to ponder who you really want to be, what you really want to have in your life. What results do you want to have? What kind of relationship do you want to have? And think about for a minute, guys, when is a time you did something great? I believe every single human being on the planet at one time or another in their life has done something great, something that they're proud of, something that they said, I made a decision and it was the best thing I've ever done, right? So think back on that time when you did something great and think about what contributed to that. Did you have a sense of purpose, a sense of passion behind what you did, a sense of, I know I need to do this. I feel it in my gut. I feel it with every fiber of my being, right? Did you have a sense of vision and focus on a result that you wanted, a future that wasn't something you could see right then, but you knew could be possible, right? That moment, maybe when you stood up for that kid that was being bullied and you said, that's not okay. And you helped them and you became their friend. Or that moment when you worked on a goal and you had that drive and you worked on it every single day. And no matter what people told you, you stayed focused on that vision. You didn't let anyone deter you from what you knew you wanted, what you knew you could have and who you knew you really were. And then let's think about another time, a time when you made a promise to yourself that you would do something and you didn't do it. You broke your promise to yourself. What happened there, right? We contributed to that. It was probably a lack of conviction. It was that going back and forth, that indecision. It wasn't making a firm commitment to yourself, right? You didn't really have the focus on it. You let life and your old patterns, your old habits take over again. And you didn't do it. And how did that feel, right? So with that being said, really define what you want in this situation, who you really want to be, how you want to look back on your life, you know, 10, 15, 30, 40, 50 years from now, right? How do you want to feel like you did with these decisions? Did you become who you wanted to be? Or did you live your life with regret, knowing that you had an opportunity to do something and you didn't do it? So that's the choice that's before each of us. And I hope and pray that you take some time to listen to your inner self. If you're facing a lot of indecisions, ask yourself, like, if I was going, you know, if my friend came to me and was really indecisive about something, what advice would I give them? And listen to what answers come. Like, what advice would you give someone that's indecisive here? Right? And then ask yourself those very same questions, because that answer is already within you. The answer that you're seeking is already within you. You just need to cut away all the other voices and all the fear and all the past conditioning and all the other junk going on inside of our brains and listen to what our inner self is really saying, because the answer is already there inside of you. You just need to listen to it and then make a choice that's so powerful, it breaks all that past conditioning. It breaks all those past habits. It breaks all those behaviors. We've all done that at one time or another too, where we said, enough. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to engage in that habit. I'm not going to smoke another cigarette. I'm not going to take another drink. I'm not going to go to that place. I'm not going to lie ever again. I'm not going to treat my children that way. Enough. I'm done with that part of myself. And you make a decision that's so powerful, it breaks through all that past conditioning. So when you decide what you really want, it leads you to that result that you know you want. So there we go. All right. Any final thoughts on this, Mark?
All right. No, I think we should probably move on to our last segment here. Our Marriage Mythbuster.
All right. Marriage Mythbuster here is talk things out until you agree with each other. This kind of reminds me of like, don't go to bed angry, or you just have to keep at a problem until it's solved. Else then there must be something wrong with your relationship, right? So yeah. Where does this myth come from? Talk things out until you agree with each other.
I think you're right in that it kind of has this root in the pursuer avoider sort of dynamic. Like I need to keep pushing on this until it's resolved. I also think that some of the energy behind this is kind of this idea that someone has to be convinced to give up their side of the argument. Like almost like a variation on this idea would be that there's a right and a wrong and in a specific disagreement or in any disagreement. If you go into psychology, there's this idea of what are called cognitive distortions, which are basically, they're described as errors in thinking that lead to problems. And this is actually one of those common ones, is this right or wrong, black or white sort of thinking. It's this sort of thinking will keep couples stuck in disagreements. And what it represents here is a lot of inflexibility or lack of ability to consider another perspective. And that's where this is, you know, if it's going on that unhealthy side, that's where this is rooted in. Certainly, like there might be some other things that are playing into this. Perhaps it is the some amount of anxiety, like I need to agree with my spouse or else we're not good. Or we're not stable, or the relationship isn't healthy. It could be some fear, like I need to give in, and I need to talk with my partner because otherwise that, like, they're not going to like me, or they're going to continue to be upset, and like some inability to sit with that sort of feeling. But what I'm getting at is if you are finding yourself saying things like this, we need to talk things out until we agree. You need to kind of question where that's coming from. Is there some fear there? Is there some anxiety? Is there some anger there? And I think, you know, the different kind of feelings really point to where it's coming from. But you really need to examine what are those emotions behind this. I'm of the opinion that there is not an absolute need to come to an agreement 100% with everything. And I think that oftentimes in a relationship, flexibility and acceptance go a long way. And there's just going to be some things that you disagree with. So the healthier route to this, the healthier route to this is, where can I come to a point where I can accept what's going on? And so to a certain degree, there is some amount of truth to this. But if you are rigidly saying the statement, that's where it's a myth and it's unhealthy. So always the healthier direction here is to bring the disagreement to a point where there's acceptance, understanding of a decision, where you can come to a compromise and have some flexibility. And I think if you're coming at it from that angle, this is just fine. You know, let's talk things out until we have come to a point where we can accept each other, where we can come to a compromise. That's great. If we are reflecting on that, what Heather was talking about earlier, that pursuer-avoider dynamic, though, you may need to, once again, be flexible and, you know, consider backing off for a little bit and revisiting this disagreement in order for it to be healthy, if that's what's needed by one partner or the other. So this is not a completely busted myth in that there are some circumstances where this is just fine. There are other circumstances where, especially if there's a lot of rigidity or inflexibility, this is unhealthy. But as long as you are approaching it with understanding, acceptance, flexibility, compromise, okay, great. Keep talking things over until you can come to that point. Wonderful.
Love it. I want to flip things for just a second and talk sure. about the, because we talked kind of from the pursuer's standpoint. Let's talk about a little bit from the avoider's standpoint, right? Which would not say we need to talk things out until we agree. They would say, I need to just give in and compromise. So it's a little bit of a different myth, but I feel like in light of this, you know, topic, it might help some people out there as well that feel like I always have to give in. I always have to be the peacemaker. I always just need to agree and smooth things over. But what happens over years, as Mark's taught me and many people here, is that builds a lot of bitterness and resentment, which creates a gap. You feel disconnected. You feel like you don't have a voice. You feel like you aren't heard. You feel like you aren't good enough. You feel like you don't know how to communicate your own needs, how to communicate your own ideas or opinions. And that would also be a very unhealthy situation. So if your spouse is really rigid and coming at you and you don't know how to handle that, well, these are, again, skills that can be learned. You can learn how to have a voice, how to say, you know, I actually disagree with you about this, and it's okay for the relationship. If you have the feeling like if there's any disagreement at all, our relationship is bad or it's unhealthy or it's broken, that's simply false. And so you need to learn, all of us need to learn how to sit with a little bit of discomfort in our relationships and that we are going to disagree about things. But how can we do that in a way that is respectful, understanding, and meets everyone's needs? So just wanted to throw that little perspective out there.
No, it's a really good addition to this because, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast. That's certainly, you know, in my personal relationships, a little bit more where I lean to is like I tend to be a little bit more accommodating. Luckily, Jen and I have talked this out. And even though it's sometimes difficult for me to sit with, you know, like that sort of feeling like I'm disagreeing with Jen and she seems unhappy about that. We've come to this point where we're okay talking that out. And, you know, it can get to a healthy point, even if you're that on that end of the spectrum. So certainly with things like that, you know, in my relationship with Jen, I've learned to be more vocal about what it is that I want, to be okay with, you know, having some disagreements and speaking up for myself a little bit. And this wasn't anything reflecting on what Jen was doing. This was just more like me and my personality and really trying to be very accommodating in many situations. But yeah, Heather, I'm glad that you brought that up. It was a really good point. So
awesome. If you're needing more help with this, we encourage you to reach out to us here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. We are always checking your comments. We'd love to hear exactly where you guys are at, what you're struggling with, and help you to get a breakthrough. And if you're interested in coaching to get more solutions to should you stay, should you go, can this be saved, is and what is the right method to help me get there, encourage you guys to book a free call with us at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. All right, next week, we're going to share with you 4 vital things you must do to save your marriage. And these are not probably things that you've heard from your therapist. In fact, it's radically different than what anyone else out there teaches. So if you're wanting to save your marriage, if you've made that firm choice, hopefully you've stepped out of some indecision and now you have some clarity. If you're like, yes, I know I must save my marriage. I know I must at least try. Then this is going to be for you. All right. So thank you, Mark. Thanks everyone for joining and thrive on, everyone.
All right. See everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.